Welcome to Chaos MMA.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'm here to make the division great again. I'm the people's champ.
Donald Trump's favorite fighter.
How you doing, guys?
I'm good. How are you, bro?
Good, man. I just saw Oscar De La Hoya. I'm retired, so I was reading that and enjoying that.
Really? All right, so how are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. It's just busy, you know. It's event after event at the moment.
What event do you go to? The past UFC card?
Yeah, I've been to basically every show the UFC's done this year, apart from maybe three or four at this point.
Oh, wow.
So I was at the UFC on the weekend. I was at the Dana White's Contender Series on Tuesday, stuff like that.
What was your favorite one this year so far?
This year so far?
Yeah.
Gaethje versus Conor and Cerrone was pretty big. Yeah, but Gaethje versus Ferguson was pretty good too. Actually, Fury versus Wilder wasn't bad.
Oh, you went to that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. All
right, so let's just get right into it. Let's go back to the fight card this week. What do you think of the DC Stipe fight, and what do you think about like the eye poke and how that affected the outcome of the fight?
Well, you know, I think it's hard to say that the eye poke didn't affect the fight. I wouldn't go as far as to say it affected the outcome of the fight. I think Stipe was already showing he was starting to pull away.
Yeah.
By the time the eye poke got involved. While I think Daniel should deserve some credit for the last two rounds fighting clearly blind in that eye, I think Stipe was probably showing the adjustments he made, pushing Daniel against the cage anytime they got in a clinch and just sort of holding him there, negating his attack. I think Stipe was probably on the way to victory anyway.
Yeah, but that's what I thought.
At the same time, you know, you don't want to see guys getting poked in the eye. I think it's crazy that in this trilogy the both fighters have suffered with a crazy eye poke. But it's just part of it, right? But I think Miocic was doing enough.
Yeah, and now all week before the fight, Dana's been saying, oh, I don't think DC's retiring, but DC saying all week, I'm done after this. Do you think DC's actually retired? Or you think he'll be back?
Listen, if there was any way DC was going to fight on after Saturday night, it would be either if they drew or if something crazy like a big eye poke happened. So I think maybe there's more of a crack in the door than I thought there would be, but I do think he is done. I think he posted on Monday a statement saying, you know, it was a hell of a ride, and I think he will walk away. He's got too many opportunities outside the cage.
Now it's in the heavyweight. You think there's any chance we see that, or like, nah, no shot?
Say again, sorry?
Now, Jones going to heavyweight, like, you think there's any chance we see a trilogy, like, at heavyweight, or now he's, like, done, no way?
I think if you listen to what Daniel was saying ahead of this fight, how difficult the camp was, even in the last couple of weeks, he was saying, man, sparring's been tough. I think Daniel probably is smart enough to know that, you know, if he couldn't do an amazing camp and beat Miocic, what, you know, he's not dumb. Like, I think he knows his days of doing those sort of camps are probably coming to an end. And against a guy like Jones, it's not just the camp, right? He's got to put up with all the crazy shit that Jones says and the bad blood. And, you know, it's just going to get to a nasty place. So he probably wants to avoid that at this point. You know, he's like,
Yeah. And now the co-main event with O'Malley and Cheeto. What do you think? What are your thoughts on the O'Malley fight? You know, another injury to Sean. Like, do you think he's a guy that will be injured a lot because this is, like, another injury? Or do you think we'll ever see his full potential? Or no, like, another Dominic Cruz. But even though he got the belt, he was always injured.
Yeah, it's, you know, you don't want to see that from a young guy, right? It's not the best look, and a reoccurring injury is not ideal. I will say I was one of those guys who, when I watched it, I thought Sean just kind of hurt himself. I thought he just sort of landed badly and sort of messed his own foot up. But seeing the replay, I think I've noticed that Cheeto did land a kick that seemed to numb his calf, and I think that helped. So I want to give Cheeto the credit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's maybe Sean's too big for that division. You know, maybe he's too skinny at that height for that division. Maybe he needs to start. Take the time off to recover, put a bit of muscle on, see if he can try at 145. But there is an issue there, right? You don't get injured twice in the same way unless there's an issue.
Yeah. And so, like, more news. Like, so Jones, like, announced the other day that he's vacating the belt and now he's going up to heavyweight. Do you think that they'll give him a title fight, like, right away? Or do you think they'll give him, like, a tune-up fight?
No, there's no way there. First of all, if John's moving up to heavyweight, he's getting more money. If it's not the money he wants, he's still getting more money.
Yeah, 100%.
And there's no way they're going to pay him more money to not have a title fight. One, and two, listen, while I think John has every chance of succeeding at heavyweight, what, they're going to give him to Derek Lewis and risk Derek Lewis knocking him out before they give him a title fight? They want to make the title fight. So I think what's most likely going to happen, and if you listen to Dana, you can sort of read between the lines, John's going to take a bit of time, and then we'll do Miocic and Ngannou, and then we'll see where John is. So AKA, what they're going to do is Miocic and Ngannou, and John will fight the winner. Okay. And it wouldn't surprise me, you know, I actually think Jones and Ngannou would be a bigger fight than Miocic. So it wouldn't surprise me if the UFC would kind of like to see Francis pull that one off, but we'll see.
Yeah. And so, like, and so how do you think John does that heavyweight? You think these fights will motivate him and, like, we see a better John Jones, like, than the last two fights he had?
It's a good question, man. I think he will be motivated. I do think there's something to be said that he's getting comfortable at 205, right? But
yeah.
He hasn't looked the best for a while. You know, his last really good performance was against Alexander Gustafsson. That was a couple of years ago. And I think, so then it becomes, well, how was his poor performances related to bad motivation, or were they related to the fact that actually he's just not that guy anymore? So I'm curious. He has all the tools. He is still, in my opinion, the greatest active fighter.
Yeah.
But I am interested. I have to say, I am interested. And I'm interested he didn't want to run that Reyes fight back. You know, I don't think he's running from Dominic Reyes too. But again, John's a bit like DC. He's smart enough to know, man, maybe these guys are starting to catch up. Maybe it's time for me to cash in on these big fights while I still can, while I still am considered this guy.
Yeah, and I was about to just ask you that. Like, the Reyes fight, how did you score that fight? Do you think Reyes won or Jones won?
I had it 3-2 to Reyes, I believe.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I'll play ball with John and say there was a couple of times where Reyes looked like he was doing crazy damage, and actually John was avoiding a lot of the shots. But I mean, it was in February, so I'm kind of remembering as hard as I can. But I remember when John had his arm raised, I felt, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, with the Thiago Santos fight, I thought it was a bit more even. I didn't really mind that John won. With the Reyes one, I felt, okay, he has a grievance. He's allowed to be upset.
Yeah.
Now, with Jones at heavyweight, who do you think is an easier matchup for him, Stipe or Francis?
That's a good question, man. I think easier is it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird question. I think a weird answer, but I think Ngannou's more dangerous, but probably easier, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think John could lose to Stipe and it'd be very, very competitive. I think if John lost to Ngannou, he's, you know, the image of him in the octagon
is going to look pretty,
you know what I mean? I think he's going to be sprawled on the canvas.
Yeah.
So I think John would I don't know, man. That's a tough question. I think John would probably rather Ngannou because we've seen the blueprint to beat him. Right now, we haven't seen a blueprint to beat the new and improved Miocic. So if I'm John, I'm probably thinking Ngannou, take him down, gas him out. You know, he's done that to other people. But it's a tough question, man, because Ngannou's like the Deontay Wilder of MMA. You know, you basically can't be off for 2 seconds. You know, you got to be there for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Jones can get out of the first round, you know, I think he can take it. But it all depends on that first round, whether Francis lands, because if the shots Dominic Reyes was landing on Jones, if Francis lands those, I don't think John can eat those shots.
That's a great point, man. That's a great point. And to be honest, Matt, we don't know. We still don't know how much Francis learned from that first Stipe fight.
Yeah.
You know, he might have, because I remember his coach and him having a public fallout saying, well, he went out in the first round and just threw every ridiculous shot he could think of. And that wasn't the game plan at all. So maybe Francis has learned a lot thinking, you know, about how to conserve
his energy. Yeah, I think so.
I think Francis versus Miocic too is no easy walk in the park for Stipe.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's still a real, that's probably one of the toughest fights out there for Miocic. So we'll see, man. I think Francis is probably underrated because of that one performance. And I think it's good to remember that actually he hasn't really been doing this that long.
Yeah. So another name, Israel Adesanya. He's been talking all year how 2021 Raiders Stadium, him versus John Jones. Now, do you think with Jones at heavyweight now, that's off the table and we won't ever see that again?
I think it's probably gone, to be honest. I do. I actually was one of the people who I would have liked to have seen that fight. But yeah, I do think it's gone, man. I think because you got to assume John is going to be 240 solid now.
Yeah,
and Israel doesn't really cut to 185. So I think I could see Israel at 205, but Izzy's been saying, oh, I'll move up to heavyweight. I struggle to see Dana being like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Up you go. I think Dana would rather keep him at 205. So I think that fight's probably gone for a while. If John lost at heavyweight, then I could see him moving back down and then meeting in the middle.
All right. And then a little prediction right here. Yes or no question. You think John Jones will be the champ at heavyweight?
No.
No, okay.
That's my prediction. That's the first time I've actually really thought about it, but I think he hasn't looked the best while Miocic and Ngannou have, so you kind of got to go with the recent evidence, right?
Yeah. And I have another fun question for you, too. So, like, after the past weekend, you know, Stipe, the heavyweight GOAT now, do you think he has contention with John Jones to be considered the greatest of all time?
Oh, well, John, you know, Stipe had at the beginning a couple of like fools, right? You know, he lost to Stefan Struve. He lost to Junior Dos Santos. Jones never really had that. I mean, okay, the Matt Hamill thing, which I think everyone's just aware of, is kind of a weird thing at the moment. But John's basically worst performances, he still won. And you could actually point to Stipe and be like, well, he was still learning. And John was winning younger than Stipe. So I think Stipe probably has a few more people he'd need to jump over before he could challenge John for that spot.
Okay.
I think also, you know, like, well, that's a good question, though. If John went up and beat Stipe, would he be the GOAT at heavyweight? That's a good question.
That's a good question, yeah. Too. But what if Stipe beat Jones at heavyweight?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, mate. I tell you what, the UFC is going to promote the shit out of John if he does win at heavyweight.
Yeah, 100%.
I think if John went up and won at heavyweight, he would probably be. I kind of have GSP still in that conversation, but if John went up to heavyweight, won the world title there, I think inarguably, no matter what the asterisks are, he probably would be the greatest of all time. I think Stipe, for whatever reason, and even after this fight, right, he just doesn't seem to have that aura around him. It's kind of like people are like, oh, he's the baddest man on the planet, but it still feels like no one's really convinced by that. I don't know what it is about Stipe. Maybe it's just the way he doesn't trash talk and he's kind of just a humble guy, whereas John has that aura. So I think if that conversation started, John would probably get favored by a lot of people.
All right. And so, like, A couple of things left. Thanks for coming on again. So a fight was supposed to happen so many times. Kobe versus Tyron Woodley. So September 19th. It's so far. It's like confirmed. How do you see that fight playing out?
Not a great night for Tyron, to be honest with you. I think the time for that fight, again, it's similar to what I just said about John versus the heavyweights. We have to go on what we've seen recently, right? And I think it's fair to say Tyron's last two performances have been the worst of his career by a long way. You know,
yeah.
And if you said the Kamaru one, look, we all have bad nights. I could understand that. But then he fought the exact same way against Gilbert Burns and really didn't do much different. And I think against Colby, who's Mr. High Pressure, in that small cage as well, if Tyron continues to just back up to the cage, I think Colby's just going to like jab him all night. So,
yeah.
I won't say I'm a Colby guy really, so it's kind of unfortunate that I don't think Tyron's going to do that great, but I think if we look at the lay of the land right now, it's not a great fight for Tyron to be taking.
Yeah, and like with all the beef you could say between them, like you think a fight like that will like finally motivate Woodley?
Dude, can you even say it's motivation at this point, you know?
I don't know. Like he should have had motivation for the Usman fight. And you just got dominated.
Yeah, I think if you didn't really think Usman was going to bring it, you overlooked him and you didn't do that great. I think as the champion you were, wouldn't you watch that performance and be like, well, that's never happening again. And then you'd be motivated going into Gilbert Burns. But he just wasn't. Yeah, I just think, you know, he's getting on, man. He's like, what, 36, 37, I think.
He's getting up there.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who had and I know he doesn't like this description, but he did have just like quick twitch explosive muscle, and I think those guys are the ones who decline faster than the guys a bit like Stipe who just kind of have tools across the board. I guess it's a hard way to describe it, but you know
what I mean? Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
And last thing here, so the biggest name in the UFC, Conor McGregor, like him and Dana, you know, going back and forth, you don't really know what's happening there. What do you think's going on there? Like, why don't you think like Conor is not going to fight like Dustin or Tony? And then if he wins, he gets that Khabib rematch, and Khabib's 30th fight is him versus Conor.
Well, I'll say, you know, I'm not saying this as any insider knowledge or anything like that, but, you know, if you read the lay of the land, I think Dana wants that Khabib rematch. You know, I think he really wants that fight. I think that's the fight that's going to make the UFC the most money, and I think that's what Dana has in his mind. I think it's pretty obvious Conor would have liked to have fought. I mean, Ariel Helwani from ESPN's reported that Conor wanted to fight earlier this year. But I just think that's where the sort of debate comes into, right? Like, do the UFC want him to fight a Dustin or a Tony, which is a great fight, but a dangerous fight, and then risk losing that big Khabib fight? I mean, listen, if Gaethje beats Khabib, Gaethje versus Conor is massive as well. You know, it's...
Yeah.
But I think that's probably what's the situation, you know?
Okay.
All right. And so last thing, so, like, you got any advice for, like, us? Because, like, we just started a couple months ago. Like, we're a growing, like, MMA paid channel, I guess you could say. You got any advice of us? Like, because we're currently working for MMA Suck. You got any advice that, like, we could, like, move up and, like, maybe work for Mac Life one day? And, like, you know what I mean? It's, like, move up.
Well, listen, you know, it's – you picked a weird time to get involved in the sport, right? With the COVID and everything like that, it's the opportunities. MMA journalism, media for a while was on a big increase with ESPN joining up. And then now I think it's sort of starting to decrease. We're seeing guys kind of getting laid off in places. But what I would say, look, I'm not, I got very lucky to get at the Mac Life. I kind of just got in the door early, but I would quite happily admit I'm not the greatest interviewer. I'm not the best writer. I'm not the best video guy, but at the end of the day, if you're a younger guy and you want to do this, the only thing you can really control, you can't control how talented you are at something naturally, but you can control how many hours you're willing to put into it. If everyone else is doing 10-hour days and you decide to do 12-hour days, you know, eventually that's going to level out. And that's, in my opinion, the only thing you can really control is literally time put in. When I first started, I used to set alarms on my phone. I wouldn't recommend doing this. This is insanity. But I used to set alarms on my phones at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., and 5 a.m. in case I missed any news overnight while I was sleeping. I'd wake up, check my phone, go back to sleep. That wasn't very healthy. But that's the sort of level, like, that's the only thing I can – it's the only thing that worked for me. So it's the only advice I feel comfortable giving is just hours put in. That's really – I mean, look, guys, you started a podcast. You've already reached out to me. I've already been on it. That's a great start. I never did that in 3 months. And, like, I think it took me 8 months before I did anything of any value. So that's a good start. It's good. It shows the mindset's obviously there. So keep at it and just keep
working. Thank you, man. All right. Thank you. So thank you for so much for coming on. Thank you a lot for coming on, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. I'll shoot off now. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Cheers, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram and Twitter at KSMMA. Make sure you also check out our articles on MMA Sucka, and our podcasts are now on there as well. All right. Thank you guys a lot for watching, and we'll see you next time.